Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Deeper Truth. I am Donald Hartley, known as the Catholic Defender, and we're excited about tonight as we are doing our first show on Eucharistic Miracles of 2024. And I should have Dr. Gregory Thompson. He was going to join me tonight, but let me see if I can get a hold of him one time. Let me see. Maybe with some luck. Said he would, you know, I figured he would try, so we'll give her a great American shot. We'll give it American great, but we will hang in there. We will carry on. And I love that song by Donna Corey Gibson. And I'm not sure that we're going to be able to reach Dr. Gregory Thompson tonight. I mean, there's a lot of snow out there, and he may be trapped out there. He may be on the road somewhere. Uh-oh. You hear it just started to ring. But we'll know if he's going to answer here in just a second. So it just kind of depends if he's home or not. But if he's out there in that snow, I mean, it's getting pretty bad out there. Well, that doesn't look like he's going to answer. That's okay. We'll get him next week. next week, same bat time and same bat station. And so, well, tonight, I got a couple of things that I'll share here. I think is okay. New converts drawn to the faith through the real presence of the Eucharist. So each year on Holy Saturday during the Easter Vigil, thousands are baptized in the Catholic Church in the United States, somewhere usually just right under 200,000. That's in the United States, but worldwide, it's been up close to 17 million. So parishes welcome these new Catholics through the rite of Christian initiation of adults, the RCIA. And I had been, I was the lead catechist in Baghdad when I was in the Gulf War. So that was a major thing. Easter's Eucharistic invitation touches hearts. And for college students, many, many, many. Here's an example. Jay Mingo. Communion was key to his entering the church this Easter. The Eucharist really has been the driving factor for me in joining the Catholic Church, he told the Register, the Catholic Register. The sophomore at the University of Nebraska, Lincoln, will join 37 others at St. Thomas Aquinas Church on campus in becoming Catholic. Mingo is a native Texan. He was baptized as a non-denominational Protestant. His father's side of the family was Catholic, and his mother was Protestant. So he does remember going to Mass with his grandparents, but not really understanding it. He recalled to the Register, he said, I did have a pull towards the Catholic Church, though, from a young age, he said. And during the 2020 pandemic lockdown, he spent time doing some intensive reading about the Catholic Church. In other words, he was doing his personal investigation here. He reads materials from the Associated Press and Father Mike Smith's and Catholic Answers and Deeper Truth. Yes. He explored such questions as praying to the saints and devotions to Mary and confession. But his key topic was the Eucharist. He said, I knew the Eucharist was something important, something I ever really understood. But was it really the body and blood of Christ, he would ask himself. And he remembered praying at a holy hour in a small chapel and feeling a sense of excitement and nervousness as he had never before been so close to the host. And he said he was moved to tears and thought, I really get to see Christ offering to meet us where we are at, and his experience and to experience his fullness. It is a beautiful thing and one that most distinguishes Catholicism from the Protestants out there that he had attended. In the days before Easter, he anticipated receiving his first Holy Communion and confirmation. And he said, I'm excited and counting the days down the days. And so what this young man is saying, I have witnessed thousands of young men just like him who were being received into the Catholic Church in the college or as soldiers, in the soldiers that I was able to reach to the RCIA and bring them into the Catholic faith, who had the same feelings as this young man. And so how wonderful this is. Oh, man. And so I'll say, well, Jay Mingo, welcome home. And you're in good company. the great saints before us, and many today. He says he knew that the Eucharist was something important and special. And at 28 years old, a police officer, he grew up, a 28-year-old police officer grew up without religion, who is engaged to a Catholic fiancée and is becoming Catholic this Easter too. Yes, praise God, huh? Yes. In marriage preparation classes, this person, Fidel Martinez, of Our Lady of Lourdes Parish in Bethesda, Maryland, in the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C., found himself quickly drawn to Catholicism and began studying and attending Mass before deciding to enter the Church. And he said, the Lord was playing the long game with me and waited to introduce me to my future wife to open my heart and mind up to my faith, he told the Register. Ahead of the Easter Vigil, he was excited about receiving his first sacraments of baptism, confirmation, and the Holy Eucharist. As Catholics, we would call this the Sacramental Grand Slam. That's what we would call it. And he says, I look forward to growing closer to our Father and receiving the Eucharist. And these converts are not alone in their newfound faith. And so this Easter, many American dioceses are preparing to welcome large numbers of converts to the Catholic faith. The Archdiocese of Atlanta, for example, which serves 1.2 million Catholics, reported that 1,831 catechumens and candidates will receive sacraments for the first time during the Archdiocese Easter liturgies. And the Archdiocese of Washington, which serves 655,000 Catholics, reported it will welcome another 1,000. And the Archdiocese of Baltimore, that serves 518,000, will welcome another 500 plus. And so in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, which is an archdiocese I had been a part of while I was still in the Army and I was stationed down there in the diocese down there, he said children are among the new converts. 10 students at St. Joan of Arc School in La Place, Louisiana, are included in the approximately 300 people entering the church in the Archdiocese. And then Guadalupe Moreno is among the Atlanta contingent, and she is a parishioner of St. Philip Church in Jonesboro, Georgia, in the Archdiocese of Atlanta. And when she was a girl, she was brought to Mass by her mother, but she was never baptized. And so that's one thing that this young girl who was never baptized, and some are not confirmed, will go through the RCIA, and there they will receive the baptism and confirmation that they didn't receive when they were little or when they were children. So in time and space, both she and her mother stopped attending church, and I see that a lot. Ran into people who was maybe baptized as a Catholic as a child, but nothing further. And so that's why I continue to have a fishing pole in my back pocket all the time, and it's not a real fishing pole, but one that I just kind of have in my mind and heart, so that I'm out there casting out when I reach people like this and refer them to go to the RCIA to get involved and to understand what the baptism was about that they didn't receive. They never understood. And I will reel them in that way. And so as Marino grew into adulthood, she recalled to the Register, she said she began craving God and deciding to return to church and receive baptism and the other sacraments later this Easter. And so this is common. I see this a lot. And not only is she returning to the church, she is bringing her family members back with her. Oh, and that is so important. And that's what I have told to a number of people when I'm talking with them. I will let them know that they could be the vehicle that might bring back those who have not been practicing their faith. And so that gives them a renewed hope and experience to for themselves, but also for the loved ones. And so, and in this case with Marino, it is going to happen. The whole family's coming back. So each convert has a distinctive story about what drew them into the church. And so, and this is happening all over the United States, but it's also happening all over the world. And Africa, our faith is growing. And I have spoken with seminarians from Africa who are becoming Catholic priests. And our encouragement is for them, because they're reaching out for the youth and where they're at. And so that's what's so good about this. Jesus loves the little children. Let me see if I can get a hold of Greg. Maybe he might be, no telling. He could be, like I said, he may have been out and about in the snow and trying to get home, and maybe he's got home and just wondering if I am going to call. So I'm going to try again. Greg is a brother. He's been a part of Deeper Truth for a long time. And we've worked together in Texas and Kentucky and Missouri and all over. Arizona. We've been everywhere. Greg, are you there? It may be we just may have to wait till next week for Gregory to come back in. So we're just now popping back on. And I talked with him earlier today and told him I'd call him. But, well, like I said, it's bad out, and he may be out in, you know, he may be, you know, still out there. So we just want him to be safe, whatever he's doing. So, okay, well, I have something that I will share here as far as a Eucharist. Now, earlier today, I referred to and spoke of the miracle, well, the of St. Angela of Foligno. This is her feast day today, and she was in our stand in the gap. She was in our gap today. And what a powerful story it is. Well, when Angela, she had visions of the Eucharist. She had visions of the Eucharist. She could see the host radiating such luminous beauty. It surpassed the splendor of the sun. At another time, there appeared two most splendid eyes in the host looking at her. She was also gifted with a vision of the Eucharist, where the child Jesus appeared in the host, splendidly dressed, majestically seated on a throne. So passionately was she consumed by the Eucharist. One day she cried out, she wished she could receive communion every day. And St. Angela reported that after her soul experienced itself nestled within the Holy Trinity, the soul was able to understand that Jesus was everywhere, in the Eucharist, in the world, in the Word, and in everyone she met. But then her soul asked the Lord, why did she feel closest to him in the ciborium? And the Lord responded that it was because through the priest's words of consecration, he dwelt inside the ciborium. And he added it was a special miracle that this comes to pass. Another time, as the priest raised the host, she heard the Father say, "Behold, the man who was crucified." and with the eyes of her soul she saw Jesus. At another time during the consecration, when the priest raised the host, she saw Jesus standing down upon the altar, accompanied by a host of angels. With one vision of God, King of the universe, displaying his power and involvement in all of his creation, she was enthralled with his divine presence. Her soul cried out, "If you want faith, pray. If you want hope, pray. If you want charity, pray. If you want poverty, pray. If you want obedience, pray. If you want chastity, pray. If you want humility, pray. If you want meekness, pray. If you want fortitude, pray. If you want any virtues, pray." And Angela is said to have received mystical revelations. And she said that no one can be saved without divine light. Divine light causes us to begin and to make progress when it leads us to the summit of perfection. Therefore, if you want to begin and to receive this divine light, pray. If you have begun to make progress, pray. And if you have reached the summit of perfection and want to be superilluminated so as to remain in that state, pray. If you want faith, pray. And if you want hope, pray. And if you want charity, pray. And if you want poverty, pray. And if you want obedience, pray. If you want chastity, pray. And if you want humility, pray. And if you want meekness, pray. And if you want fortitude, pray. If you want the virtue, any virtue, pray. And pray in this fashion, she says, always reading from the Bible, the book of life, that is, the life of the God-man Jesus Christ, whose life consisted of poverty, pain, contempt, and true obedience. At Christmas 1308, Angela told her companions she would die shortly. A few days later, she had a vision of Christ appearing to her and promising to come personally to take her to heaven, and she died in her sleep on 3 January 1309. And she said, "I realized my sinfulness. I was seized with a great fear of being damned, and I shed a flood of tears. I went to confession to be relieved of my sins. But through shame, I concealed the most grievous ones. But still, I went to communion. Now my conscience tortured me day and night. I called upon St. Francis for help, and moved by an inner impulse, I went into a church where a Franciscan father was then preaching. I gathered courage to confess all my sins to him, and I did this immediately after this sermon with zeal and perseverance. I performed the penance he imposed, but my heart continued to be full of bitterness and shame." And sometimes we have to forgive ourselves sometimes. It's when, yeah, we do receive God's forgiveness and his absolution through the priest, but sometimes we must forgive ourselves. And Angela was having a difficult time with this. But she said, "I recognize that the divine mercy has saved me from hell. Since I resolved to do rigorous penances, nothing seemed too difficult for me. Because I felt I belonged in hell, I called upon the saints, and especially upon the Blessed Virgin, to intercede with God for me." And she said, "My son, if you were to see my heart, you would be absolutely obligated to do everything God wants, because my heart is God's heart, and God's heart is mine. Hear St. Paul's words ring out, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. So God permitted Angela to be afflicted with severe and horrible temptations that greatly distressed her soul. The fire of concupiscence, the sins of the flesh, raged so furiously that she said, "I would rather be surrounded with flames and continually roasted than to give in to such things." She called out to God, "Glory to you, O Lord. Your cross is my resting place." And these painful trials lasted over 2 years. But then the purified and tested servant of the Lord was filled with great consolations. Angela obtained a marvelous insight into divine things and was very frequently found in ecstasy. For many years, Holy Communion was her only food, until at last, completely purified, she entered into heaven on January 4th, 1309. For many years, Holy Communion was her only food, and as Jesus had promised her, he took her to heaven. On 9 October 2013, Pope Francis completed what had already been started by his predecessors by canonizing Angela de Poligno using the process of equipollent canonization. Blessed Angela of Poligno said, "To know oneself is to know God. That is the perfection of man. Without this knowledge, visions and the greatest gifts of are no account." So Pope Innocent XIII beatified Angela in 1693, and on October 9th, 2013, Pope Francis declared her saint. And she is the patron of those afflicted by sexual temptation, as well as by widows. Wow. And thank you, Lord, for the lives of this great saint. And thank you, Lord, for the Eucharist, the miracle of the Eucharist, but you are present at every and each and every Mass, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And we thank you, just as the wise men gathered around you, offering you gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And as the shepherds came and offered you praise, may we who gather around you at Holy Mass in your Eucharistic presence, may we be illuminated by your glory, by the light of the Holy Spirit, Lord, as you enter into our souls. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you have given us, that we have a thankful heart. And thank you for Gregory. I know he's out there somewhere, but I just pray that he's safe. And thank you, Lord, for raising us up. This is a song that I will play a lot during our Stand in the Gap series, so I think it's appropriate to play right here, to share here.
And I am still waiting.
Amen. And Jesus loves stringed instruments, it says in the Bible, in Psalms 45. May the most holy, most sacred, most adorable, most mysterious, and unutterable name of God be always praised, blessed, loved, adored, and glorified in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, by all the creatures of God, and by the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the most holy sacrament of the altar. Praise you, Lord. And so, for tonight, for Gregory Thompson and for myself, we will be again for next week for Eucharistic Miracles and Stories. So God bless you all tonight, and be safe out there as this winter storm goes through. God bless you all. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good night. Peace.